Afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It is Monday, May the 5th, 2025. It is program number 1367 of the Lunchroom, and I'm your host, Calix George Jr. In addition to radio, 101.1 FM, you can also get us at our website, rcisanusha.com. And of course, if you want to check out our older shows, you can do that as well. They're downloadable in podcast form. And we are streaming live on Facebook. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. Please be sure to like and share that link as well, please, with your friends and family. The number to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, it is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. And you can also reach us at our WhatsApp number. That is 724-0008. You can call in or message in on WhatsApp. And again, that number is 724-0008. We want to send out some birthday greetings today to Mr. Jean-Michel Paul. Happy birthday to you, sir, and we hope that you're having a fantastic birthday celebration. Also sending birthday greetings to Mrs. Keithlyn Carew-Frifa. I hope I got your last name correct. And of course, Keithlyn is the founder of Helen's Daughters and doing wonderful work in the ag sector here in St. Lucia and across the region. So happy birthday to you, Keithlyn. And we do hope that you're having a fantastic birthday. And also want to send out birthday greetings to Miss Charlene Cadet. Happy birthday to you, Charlene. And we do hope that your special day is happening and it's a vibe indeed. Now, a bit of history for today. And we'll go back in time to way back, actually, into the year 1260. Kublai Khan, the grandson of Genghis Khan, became ruler of the Mongol Empire. In the year 1893, the panic of 1893 caused a large crash on the New York Stock Exchange. 1941, on this day, the Ethiopian Emperor Haile Selassie returned triumphantly to Addis Ababa. And of course, we're going to be touching on that in just a bit with a special coming out of ICAR in remembrance of this day. 1955, on this day, West Germany was granted full sovereignty by its three occupying powers. Of course, that's the US, the UK, and France. And in 1965, the first large-scale US Army ground units arrived in South Vietnam. 1980, on this day, this has been turned into a movie, very good one, a siege at an Iranian embassy in London ended when the SAS and police storm the building. And in 1981, on this day, after 66 days on a hunger strike, 26-year-old provisional IRA member and British MP Bobby Sands died in prison maze. Nine more hunger strikers died in the next 3 months. We now move on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Need all kind of tests. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also glad gas and vanity. Box, doors, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosseju, Grozzy Lanes, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And welcome back to our program for today, and hope it's a good one for everybody. And of course, we did see quite a bit of activity over the weekend in respect of the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival, a number of fringe events in the lead up to this week, of course, occurred. And they involve the likes of a free show over at the Ancillary Waterfront. And that saw the likes of a Barbadian performer. Is it Owen Yearwood? He was out there, and it was quite a crowd. Very, very large numbers coming out to, in fact, take in these fringe events. Not too sure if they're actually people out there counting to give the some sense of the figures, but just by judging on the amount of traffic and, of course, the foot traffic and the people and the parking and everything pretty much being almost sold out, you can get a sense of the extent of the spread as a result of the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival. It definitely has become a lot more than just a tourism product. One could easily say it's almost a cultural festival. So the likes of how we've embraced Carnival and how you've got events like, of course, Junior Creole. Different, but certainly the spread in terms of the geographic reach of the festival is certainly pretty impressive. Also, the likes of Shrozella, I think, also occurred on that Friday. And then into the Saturday down at VA4, the Recreation Park there, took in a very eclectic jazz festival, which also had an artistic component in there as well. We should have also mentioned that last week there was the jazz sampler as well. I think the Icon series, as remembering the great Teresa Hall, who really has been such an important pioneer to the spread and the continuity of our folk dances. And, you know, dance is one of those things you've got to really wonder, you know, how these things get passed on by human beings teaching other human beings, and that it's a continuity. It's a very, very interesting cultural expression when you look at dance, because a lot of those things were not originally recorded. Now we've got the opportunity to record them and you know, that sort of thing, but wasn't that always the case? And so we certainly do need to remember those who've made contributions towards dance, in the case of Teresa Hall, of blessed memory, being remembered for this year's Cultural Icon series. And as well, over the weekend, the event also took in Babuno over at the Rainforest Skyrides facility up in Chasse. And quite a lot of people, again, coming out to enjoy WCK out of Dominica, who was also over in Choiselle, I believe, earlier on, the day before. And of course, perhaps the event that has certainly marked itself as the largest fringe event of the festival, that of Soufre Jazz. It's now dubbed the Ultimate Experience. And that happened yesterday, from around 2 o'clock right into the evening, into the night. And of course, by all indications, a significant, fantastic turnout there. I think somewhere around the region of about 6,000 individuals, I think, is the figure that I've been hearing being quoted. So certainly very, very good for the community of Soufre to see this actually being occurring, and of course the benefit, hopefully, of to the broader community, the amount that is spent in Soufre by way of the, you know, vending sales and catering and food and beverage, but of course as well in the accommodation sector, because some people actually make it a staycation. They will go down for the weekend. They'll actually spend time in Soufre. And that, of course, is also pretty advantageous for the community as well. So thus far, pretty good. Very, very successful thus far, the St. Lucia Jazz and Arts Festival. And, of course, the main week is here now, and no doubt lots to take in. And we'll have a chance to talk about that as the week progresses. But just a little bit of a segue now into perhaps other matters of historical memory. And just last week, the Ayanola Council for the Advancement of Rastafari, ICAR, took on the decision to, in fact, have a march of support for the efforts of certain individuals who are now in government in countries in Africa, in particular the likes of Ibrahim Touare, who is the provisional head of the Burkina Faso administration at the moment. Burkina Faso is Upper Volta, was once, that's what it was once called. The Volta River is a river which is shared, or a watershed that is shared by Burkina Faso, as well as in the lower regions of Ghana, or which was then, of course, before a British colony known as the Gold Coast. So the French region of the, in the upper regions, closer into the Sahel, and then in the southern region, the coastal region, held by the British. Ghana, of course, being the first African country to be able to declare its independence from that period of colonization, which came out of what was known as the Berlin Conference, the grab for Africa, the great scramble for Africa, after this conference, which happened in the 1880s. Already there was interest, of course. The European interest in colonization of Africa had already been going on for many years. It was largely kept to the coastlines from as far back as the likes of the Portuguese and sailors like Vasco da Gama, who rounded the Cape of Good Hope and entered the Indian Ocean looking for routes to get to Asia. You then saw European and engagements just largely on the coastline, setting up forts and ports for trade. But the major thrust now into trying to get into the interior, trying to actually subjugate entire tribes, began in earnest in the latter part of the 19th century and continued into the 20th century. So this is actually something that is not so long ago, the colonization of Africa. And it certainly led to a lot of wrongdoing, a lot of brutality. Very famously, of course, in areas like in Ghana, for example, and the Ashanti Wars that were fought there, the Zulu Wars that were fought in the south of Africa, in South Africa. You've got lots of different points, the Mau Mau fights and rebellions that were going on in Kenya. Of course, the brutality of King Leopold II, King of the Belgians in the Congo Free State, which was considered his own by right, and of course the massacres that went on there, and lots of warfare, lots of brutality, and genocide against people living in Africa. And one of those countries that certainly prided itself as being able to withstand or hold off European colonization or colonial efforts at that time was Ethiopia, which prior to that was also known as the Kingdom of Aksum, and which in fact had prided itself also in being a Christian country. In the main, with having very, very long ties, deep ties to Egypt, to the Sinai, to the Yemen region, and the Levant, and of course, lots of those ties led to the spread of Christianity in these highland regions of Aksum or Ethiopia, and they were able to fight off an extensive amount of aggression, European aggression, particularly coming from the Italians, who wanted to, they were pretty late in terms of consolidating themselves as a nation state. It only happened in the 1860s or thereabouts, throwing out the houses of Bourbon and the other royal families that were involved there. As well as the Papal States, and creating a unified Italy, and they also wanted to get their hands on African colonies, just like the Germans were in that mix as well around that time. And so these countries all had these ambitions of gaining wealth from the extractive industries of mining and agriculture in the very rich African continent. And so today marks a very interesting day in history where we saw the return of Haile Selassie to Ethiopia, where he was already, had already been emperor prior to that, but due to the conflict, had in fact ended up living in exile. We do have a piece which has been provided for by the president of the Ainola Council for the Advancement of Rastafari. We'll take in that clip, and then afterwards, while we take in that clip, we'll actually get him on the phone to get some comments regarding that march which was held last week in support for Ibrahim Traoré, the head of the government over in Burkina Faso. Let's take in that clip at this time.
Irene Alexander, Ras Ayan, President, Ainola Council for the Advancement of Rastafari and Pan-African People. Press statement for immediate release. The Ainola Council for the Advancement of Rastafari and Pan-African People remind all persons of African descent of the observance of the historical return of the Lion of Judah, Haile Selassie, Emperor of Ethiopia, to sit upon the Rainbow Circle throne of the Empire of Ethiopia on May 5, 1941. After being in exile in Bath, England, due to the occupation of Ethiopia by Benito Mussolini, the Italian invader and fascist dictator during the run-up to World War II. So today is indeed a glorious day as we remember the triumphant return of the Lion of Judah. Haile Selassie made a triumphant return to Ethiopia on May 5, 1941. He spent 5 years in exile. Before going into exile, His Majesty in 1936, he fought in the front lines to help defeat the Italian invaders. Therefore, after he left Ethiopia and made a short stop in Geneva to address world leaders at the then League of Nations, the predecessor of the United Nations. In that speech, His Majesty condemned the Italian military aggression and the use of chemical weapons against Ethiopia, which forced him into exile. During his address, he called on the nations of the world to grant him the justice they had all signed on for when he signed the League of Nations Treaty or Charter to defend any one of the states if they were attacked and faced aggression. There was no response. The League was dead. Even today, we see Africa under attack by the colonial powers of France and America mainly. The African countries of Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso are currently fighting off the French, who have been stealing their resources, especially the gold, with no benefit to their people. We heard now the U.S. President Donald Trump, with his AFRICOM General Michael Langley, is siding with France on this issue. These colonial pirates refuses to allow Africa to use its resources for the benefit of its people. Therefore, we are calling on France and America to get out of Africa and allow the African leaders to govern their countries without outside interference. We are also calling on all African and African descendants all over the world to stand in solidarity with our ancestral homeland. And in particular, we must pay full attention to what is going on in the Sahel region, which were former colonies of France, with Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso, where there has been 21 assassination attempts on our president, our black brother, President Ibrahim Traoré. The European countries, since the Berlin Conference of November 1884 to February 1885, where they cut up Africa in pieces and shared it among themselves, they still believe they have a God-given right on their own Africa up to this day. We Africans must fight, if it's necessary, to free our continent, as we remain forever confident in the victory of good over evil. CARICOM need to come out with a strong statement condemning what France and America is attempting to do in Africa, even as we speak. Therefore, as we celebrate Victory Day today, and we remember the struggles Ethiopia went through to liberate herself from Italy and the fascist dictator Benito Mussolini, let us also vow to defend Africa from France and America. His Majesty and our ancestors are watching and seeing what our response is going to be. Let us not be traitors to our African brothers and sisters who are fighting colonialism and neocolonialism at this time. We must all resist or we will die. That is the choice we have to make as a people. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thanks very much to Mr. Aaron Alexander for being able to send that in. A remembrance of May the 5th, 1941, that day upon which you saw the return of Haile Selassie to Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia. Of course, that's in the throes of World War II. I think we do have now Aaron Alexander, the president of ICAR, on air with us. Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm all right, my brother. I'm all right.
And of course, a very special day of remembrance for you and for ICAR.
Yes, indeed. And I would venture to say the entire black world, you know, because that was a real historic triumphant return, you know, because we've been battling fascism in Ethiopia for over 5 years, you know. So, I mean, it was a really victory for black people generally all over the world.
And of course, the timing of this, especially on the heels of what is going on in the Sahel region, you making specific mention to that as well, and ICAR leading a march just last week here, a solidarity march here in St. Lucia in support of, against, I guess you could say as well, neo-colonialism and exploitation of Africa and support to some of the more progressive leadership that we're seeing coming out of Africa, and in particular Mr. Ibrahim Traore out of Burkina Faso. How has that, what has the response been like you've gathered from the St. Lucian public in that regard?
Well, as you might have known, or as you may know, Calix, it was somewhat of a spontaneous kind of activity, because this was happening all over the world, in the mainland continent, Africa, the UK, France, all over the world. People were really coming out in solidarity with the Sahel region generally, and in particular with Burkina Faso's president, Brother Ibrahim Traore. And the response from St. Lucia, although it was on the spur of the moment, really, but I find the response was good. We had in excess of 50 persons in attendance. And while we were there, you know, there were solidarity messages. We had Brother Ulbuske grace us with his presence. As you know, Brother Ulbuske is the president, or the chairman, rather, of the National Reparations Committee here in St. Lucia. And he made his presence be felt as well, and he came and gave some solidarity words to the audience, you know. So we had a few persons, whose sisters and brothers, who came up to the mic and boldly, you know, declared the denouncing of France and France's action in Burkina Faso and the Sahel region. And now that we are hearing that even America, through a general called Michael Langley, is actually making a case really for the invasion of Burkina Faso in particular, you know, spreading all sorts of rumors about the president, Ibrahim Traore. So we are saying we have seen this play out one too many times on African soil. As you know, what happened to Muammar Gaddafi, as you know, what happened to Thomas Sankara, Patrice Lumumba, so many of our leaders who have been assassinated by France or one of those colonial powers. So we are saying, enough is enough. We don't want any of these things anymore on the African continent. It's high time that, you know, these things stop, and colonialism is, and neo-colonialism in particular, is rife in Africa, you know, exploiting the people resources, you know, and like we like to say, the pirates, you know, these people are really pirates, pirating all the resources of Africa and taking it back to Europe. So it's high time that sort of exploitation stop. We know of the Berlin Conference in 1884, from 1884 to 1885, where those European countries sat at the table and they divided Africa among themselves, and they still feel they have a God-given right to the African resources. It's high time this thing stop, Calix. So we have to take a stand, you know?
Of course, at this time, you're seeing quite a lot of passionate pleas, but it's hard to imagine that this is still the modus operandi of certain countries, that the desire to still effectively eliminate heads of state?
Yes. I mean, in this day and age, that is still the attitude of the former colonial powers and now neo-colonialism that seem to be 10 times, you know, worse than colonialism itself. And for people to open their mouth and say colonialism had a conscience. I mean, this hogwash, this garbage, we could never put that in our minds. We have to wholeheartedly reject and stand up against that. And can you imagine, we still got backlash from people in St. Lucia saying, well, we have crime in St. Lucia. We're not matching for crime. Why is all Africa we looking to stand in solidarity with Africa? Mm-hmm. Why don't we protest against match here in St. Lucia? What's happening here in crime in St. Lucia and this and that and the other? But I'm saying, when has it become ICA's business to match against crime? I mean, we have civil society entities in St. Lucia. We have the Church's Council, the Christian Council. We have the Rotary Club. We have so many clubs in St. Lucia. So ICA is the only one that is supposed to be standing up and fighting and protesting against crime.
Well,
so, I mean, all this kind of mentality, you know, it's really sad to see that some of our people are of them kind of mentality, you know?
Well, I think it's a bit of obfuscation that that is used quite often by some elements to say that, hey, you shouldn't be marching about this if you're not marching about these other items. So it's, you know, it's a very similar argument, I think, that we've heard when you had the Black Lives Matter movement and people then tried to say, well, all lives matter. So therefore, why should we focus on Black lives as if there is not, in fact, a good reason and there's not a history behind the issue with respect to the efforts there. So, but I mean, I guess you would expect that, though, to some degree, that some individuals are looking to change the narrative around this.
Yes, I think so, especially in this politically charged climate. You know, we expect those things, you know, because some people feel we should embarrass the government and so on and so forth. But that's not our place to do. If we see something is not right, we're going to stand against it. And I needed to remind certain persons that we have been out on the air. I'm talking about the crime wave and what's happening with the crime situation, the black-on-black violence. We have been on the air. We've been on many programs. We sent out press releases. We even had an activity last year, May, at Serenity Park, where we dubbed it Music to Fight Crime, where we're using conscious music to try to influence the hearts and minds of our young people away from crime. So it's not like we've not spoken on those issues and taken a stance on those things. Mm-hmm. But at some time, choose to ignore these things just to find a way and means to criticize what you're doing. And that doesn't mean, even though it's happening in Africa, that we should not take a stand down here. We are 85-90% African descendants down here. In September the 7th is Africa CARICOM Day. Right. You know, so we have a strong link with Africa, especially with this government in power there right now. They have established real strong links with Africa. The Entry Post School is being built by Afri-Exim Bank alone from them. You know, I mean, we have touched Africa, and Africa is touching us, so we have to ensure that we keep our ears on the ground and what is affecting Africa. We have to make sure that we take a stand on those things and stand with Africa as a CARICOM block.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, of course, because as you rightfully said, in fact, just right now, Afri-Exim Bank is investing a significant amount of resources into a new headquarters in Bridgetown, Barbados, massive facility there. And of course, as you rightfully said, loans are being provided now. Ironically enough, loans to support growth and development here in St. Lucia and in the Caribbean are being provided by the Afri-Exim Bank, a region that quite often the St. Lucia, very many St. Lucians and people in the Caribbean have looked at as if, you know, it's a million miles away. Are you satisfied, though, that in terms of the people-to-people connections, that we're there yet? Do we have enough of that interaction, that cultural exchange?
Well, honestly speaking, Calix, as we always say, there's always room for improvement. There's always room for much more to be done, because we need to even start having direct flights from the Caribbean to Africa mainland, because, you know, most of the time, for the most part, we have to pass through Europe to go to Africa. Yeah. So all these things have to stop. We have to have direct links with Africa, Calix, and we have to have exchange of cultures, because Africa itself, don't mind all the poverty they're showing you Africa have. Africa have a lot of riches and a lot of richness, and we could have a lot of tourists coming out of Africa as well, you know, Calix.
Yeah.
So we have to tap into those markets, especially now that you're seeing, well, Donald Trump, president of America, saying, well, America first and all these kind of things. We have to start thinking of Caribbean first and even Africa first, because we have to even establish greater trade links between Africa and the Caribbean. So there's a lot more that need to be done. And I believe that through the whole process of Africa, CARICOM kind of interaction, I think a lot more is going to come out. I'm hearing talk, I don't know how true it is, I'm hearing talk that our PM might be traveling to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to attend this conference, Africa CARICOM Day. And I'm probably even hoping that he might take one or two members of ICA with him.
You right, know, certainly.
So I'm saying all this to say we need greater links with Africa, Calix, especially in these climate and geopolitical things that's going on right now. We need to establish greater links with Africa. We cannot look to America for our salvation, neither England or Europe. Africa has to be that mainland, that continent that we have to establish greatest ties with to ensure that we get benefits. Because right now, even with what Burkina Faso is doing there right now, they have nationalized all the gold mines and these kind of things, and they are refining their gold themselves. They are using their resources now for the benefit of the people. Who is to say we cannot benefit from these things as well from some of the African countries who are now taking that sort of a stance where they are keeping their resources to develop their people? And as you know, or probably know, the Caribbean is regarded as a sixth region of Africa. Right. We have that status at the African Union. So all these things in mind, we stand to benefit as well from the African countries now taking charge of their resources and saying no to Europe exploitation and pillage that has been going on for centuries. They're putting a stop to that right now. And we must applaud them and stand up with them, colleagues. We must do that.
And of course, I'm sure you would know that many of these initiatives are long overdue. And you'd recall, I think as far back as 1998, the 25th CARICOM heads of government meeting when none other than Nelson Mandela of South Africa visited St. Lucia, there was that appeal and that call for direct flights, you know, out of South Africa to the Caribbean. So certainly something that is far, far, far overdue and potentially something that the Caribbean could benefit from tremendously, as you rightfully said, in terms of mutual development. I know we've got a lot to talk about, though. Any parting thoughts, though, from you on this very special Memorial Day?
Yeah, I want to first of all say thanks to all those who turned out for the solidarity gathering. While we were at the gathering, people were saying, well, hey, look, they put us in the gardens because originally we wanted Constitution Park, but then the police told us that I think it was a meeting of the Senate, the upper house was meeting that day, so it would be an interruption to them. We asked for Derek Walcott Square. They said, no, Derek Walcott Square is in close proximity. So they put us all the way at George V Park. I thought for a moment, saying, well, probably they're just trying to, you know, put us in the backlight, if so to speak. But nonetheless, I thank the people who turned out. And while we were there, people were saying, well, hey, let us try to probably even take a walk over to the French embassy up at Vigy. And then some were saying, well, that's a bit of a long walk. You know, why don't we go by the Alliance Francaise building in by Point Seraphine? So we all agreed for us to take a walk by Alliance Francaise, and we got there with our placards in hand and sending a message to Alliance Francaise to relate to the French government that this is our stand on this issue. We think France and America should butt out of African affairs. There should be no external interference in African business. Stay out of Africa. So we send that message loud and clear. And we thank all those who turned out for that gathering. And of course, today being Victory Day, celebrating 62 years since the return of the Lion of Judah on the throne of Ethiopia. And we all know the story of how things went during World War II, how Mussolini invaded Ethiopia. And of course, the black people of the world were in uproar at the time, and people hurry to the defense of Ethiopia, Abyssinia. And today we're celebrating that Victory Day when Selassie was returned upon the throne in 1941. So it's a great day for us, and it goes to show how we, African people, when we fight for our rights and stand up for our rights, we can triumph, because we must always remember the words of Haile Selassie, who told us we must be confident in the victory of good over evil. And what France and America and these European countries is doing and have done to Africa is nothing short of evil. And we must stand up against that in whatever guise it may appear. So I want to tell everybody out there, blessed and happy Victory Day. Let's remember that victory as we move forward in the fight now to stop France and America from trying to invade Africa and try to recolonize our continent.
Aaron Alexander, President of the Ainola Council for the Advancement of Rastafari, thank you so very much for sharing with us today and being our dish of the day. Have a good one.
Yeah, man.
And that's our dish of the day. As I said, when we come back, we'll take in our weather report.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A+, did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gasoline and vanity. Box, doors, you'll see.
come down to my nobody, we got the best as an island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bossejou Grosile, and Slack Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939.
Island style. We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say. We'll have to make the right choice.
Pieces and ground. Everything you need to start the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say. Quality, yeah. Price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Beaufort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
So, of course, to the 1.1, it's now time for your weather report as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talent Bath. The forecast for St. Lucia Valley for the next 24 hours, the winds will be blowing from between the southeast and east near 13 miles per hour or 20 kilometers per hour. The weather fair to partly cloudy and hazy with a few isolated showers. The forecast for Little Saint is over the southern Leeward and northern Windward Islands, partly cloudy to cloudy with scattered light to moderate showers and isolated thunderstorms. Elsewhere, fair to partly cloudy and hazy with a few showers. And the weather summary, a weak surface to low-level trough and enhanced by an upper-level jet stream will continue to cause occasional cloudiness with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms over the northern portion of the Lesser Antilles during the next 24 hours. Light to moderate easterly winds will persist across the eastern Caribbean region during the next few days. And this was your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talamba.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Style. We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say.
Pieces and ground. Everything you need to start the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say. Quality, yeah. Price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Beaufort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
And welcome back to the lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. We've got about 18 minutes to go before the hour of 2 o'clock. And, of course, the number to call in is 452-3046. We're going to go to the phone lines at this time. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hello.
Hi, good day.
Hi, good day. Hello, yes.
Caller, I think we're hearing some feedback from whatever you're listening to. So perhaps you could turn down.
Okay. I was listening to you, actually. I wanted to comment on Aaron Alexander's input. I thought it was very, very good. And the question of the linkage between Africa and the Caribbean is of great importance, particularly now. That there's an attack, really, on the guy Ibrahim in Burkina Faso. It is obvious that the Western world exterminate him just like they exterminated some of the other African players like Lumumba, etc., etc. But I wanted to inform Alexander that this linkage between not St. Lucia, but the Caribbean and Africa has been there since the days of our Jamaican friend who talked about the Black Star Line in terms of linkages between the Caribbean and Africa.
You're referring to Marcus Garvey?
The Back to Africa movement. I'm talking about Marcus Garvey. Right in those days, he was right on target, actually. And the other thing that I wanted to bring to his attention was that early on, the Pan-African movement in England, in places like Manchester and so on, they are the ones who actually initiated the freedom of Africa. And our Caribbean people had a great input into that. For example, there was a linkage between Jomo Kenyatta, Kwame Nkrumah, and people like George Padmore, C.L.R. James, Arthur Lewis, etc., to the extent that when Ghana, which is the first country that got independence from the British Empire, the first people that Nkrumah invited was Padmore and our own Arthur Lewis, whom he wanted to develop. The first development plan for Ghana was done by Arthur Lewis, a St. Lucian. Now, there's also, I wanted to introduce to the St. Lucian people the linkage between St. Lucia and Africa is a very close one, particularly in Ghana. And as you know, the first guy who came from St. Lucia to Ghana was a guy called Dr. Edwin Beausoleil, who came from the southwestern part of St. Lucia, Chazelle Soufre area. And Beausoleil was a medical doctor. He graduated from Edinburgh University, and then he went to Ghana. And he worked there for a very, very, very long time. And in fact, some of his children, the Beausoleils in Ghana, are still prominent people in Ghana. One was then in fact, right now, I think one of them is the chief of the army in Ghana right now. He had other ones in the army. There's one that was executed by the army because he did not wish to participate in the overthrow of Nkrumah at the time. Nkrumah himself had a very close relationship with St. Lucians because not only with Arthur Lewis, but Arthur Lewis had a brother, Stanley Lewis, who were already in Ghana. And he was brought there by his godfather, who happened to be a fellow called George Francois from Chazelle, who also had gone to Ghana after his service in the British Army. He was a sergeant in the British Army after the First World War. And he helped Ghana in the development of a cocoa industry. Now, his children are also very prominent in Ghana. He had a daughter who was a judge, a son who was a judge, and there was one who was an engineer. That one was the chief engineer in Ghana, and all the big, some of the big infrastructural works like the Volta Dam and also the highways and so on were designed by this particular Francois of St. Lucian origin. So we have quite a bit of linkages. There was also another guy called Lupa Patterson from Patterson Land, our Patterson Land area. He was a member of that family, and he worked in Ghana in a place called Achimoto College, and he became Nkrumah's chief advisor. When Nkrumah was out, and he went to Guinea, the president of Guinea, Sucre Touré, had been helped by Nkrumah, so they were very close. And then Patterson also became the chief advisor to Sucre Touré. So we have quite a linkage. St. Lucia itself had quite a linkage. Oh, of course, I forgot my friend, the Ogis family, the first St. Lucian Island scholar who had gone to Ghana as a doctor, medical doctor, and his children and so on have done very well in Ghana. So we have a very close relationship with Ghana, which obviously has to be extended now, and I'm hoping that our Prime Minister would make a trip, really, to Ghana to see to what extent we can have linkages with some of our own family in that particular in that particular country. We also had one of the Glasgow family who was a judge down here. He spent some time in Ghana as well. So Aaron is very, very, very correct in what he indicated. The whole question of the death, really, of the old colonial and neocolonialism system has to go, and we need to establish closer links with Ghana and with Africa generally. In fact, it is closer. Ghana and the West Africa is closer to the Caribbean. It's, you know, in 4 hours or 5 hours, you can go across by plane, and those routes need to be established now. So I'm just indicating that I'm in full agreement with him, and I just wanted to elaborate a bit on it. Thank you.
Thanks very, very much for that. Very in-depth, enunciation of the history and historical ties. I think very important for individuals to know that those ties have existed in the past, and there's a foundation upon which to build with. Thanks very much. Let's try to take in another call at this time. Of course, the number to do so, it is 4523046. Again, 4523046. And we have been speaking to... the day itself, of course, the anniversary of the return of Haile Selassie to Ethiopia. Ethiopia, of course, now has taken on a very special role in terms of being the headquarters for the African Union, being located in Addis Ababa, that recognition of its longstanding, role in terms of, dealing with and fighting off colonialism in that regard. Of course, Africa, a mammoth continent, over 54 countries, large in terms of area, but as well in terms of its population right now, the fastest growing continent on the planet. Let's get another call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Good afternoon, Mr. George.
How are you?
How are you and yours?
Very good, thank you. How are you doing?
All right.
Wonderful. He was talking about a number of St. Lucians who went across to Africa and played a role in its in particular Ghana and the role that they played in its development.
The noteworthy ones are Danny Alexander, the jurist.
Well, he didn't even mention Nigeria. Danny Alexander became the Chief Justice of Nigeria, yes.
But of course, so Adelus.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. But in that regard, of course, you mentioned about the significance of today in our history with regards to the independence of Africa.
Yes, yes.
All right? And the symbolic and significance and importance of us recognizing such events in terms of knowing that, struggles, there were several, a lot of people died for what we still fighting for and we still have to fight for, because we have still far, the war is far from being won, in terms of what we ultimately looking to achieve in terms of control of our resources, and our the linkage, the connection between what we term as diaspora and the continent itself, because you're aware of the magnitude of just basically of capital finance,
right?
That's from in terms of remittances from the diaspora to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it dwarfs the trade, all kind of thing, That it's huge.
Right, right.
Now you're only talking about money, but imagine if just a portion of that had to actually go and serve, render service and expertise with all the hundreds of years we've been out there, that we have gathered and achieved to help develop ourselves, and claim our patrimony, not in the sense that you just go in there and you feel you want a piece of Africa to do what you want to do, to live like in a human and malicious self-interest mode and not we're willing to work for a thing, but in the sense of being willing to work, to build a better future for our black people, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, I don't know if you listened to the lecture by Ms. Grasha Machel.
No.
Grasha Machel.
When was this?
No, you must tune to thing. You don't tune to listen to the lectures from the University of the West.
UETV?
UETV.
Yes, sometimes, but I must have missed this one.
I've seen that on more than one occasion.
Okay.
And it's there if you're interested too.
I'll check it out.
And maybe you could even download it.
If we could, we could might be able to play a few parts of it, yes.
Yes, you must watch that. Somebody like you especially. And where she's saying that, and she speaks, she avoids trappings like religious and dogmas and doctrines and so on and so forth. And she communicates to the heart, it speaks about long-suffering and perseverance and commitment and devotion to not just change, but transformation, to build an African, like that's connected to us, to the diaspora, that will, in the next 100 years, not only just transform the lives of black people, but humanity on the whole. In other words, she's seen that this is something that is it's so powerful, that it's well, obviously, what she's talking about next 100 years, most of us wouldn't see it, but it's that's what keeps people alive, because without a cause, you're dead, because people come and they go, but causes live on, and she speaks to that issue so succinctly, Calix, and without even attempting to explain herself, but she's so, lucid in what she's saying. She's so clear, just because of her experience, what life has taught her, that has totally humbled her, and how she became a minister of education. She's not too being interested in politics or wanting to dabble in politics, but just by her very nature, wanting to elevate and uplift people. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's so important. And this is this other thing, because we want black people everywhere. I mean, yeah, it's good that we have people in all spheres of life, with all, you know, devoted and committed to various, you know, careers, different careers.
Causes, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, there should be a commonality in terms of what we as black people could contribute, you know. I mean, it's a given, and I mean, history can, you know, prove that we are a resource. I mean, we have resources in abundance, mm-hmm. minerals, all kind of minerals, exotic animals, all kind of things we loaded with. And after being plundered for all these years, we still have, you know, enough for them to be still rushing to what they refer to, especially the Chinese now, and still the French won't want to give up the former colonies, still rushing to what is considered the new frontier. All right, Khalid?
It's still the new frontier, eh?
It's still the new frontier.
Mm. So or the last frontier.
Yeah, but we must view that, okay, let us control, all right? Let us control these our resources, because they belong to us. I mean, when are we going to wake up and say, well, no? But then again, there are obstacles to that, because in the absence of security, you know, you see what's going on all over Africa, you know?
Right.
And this is something that that prevents people, especially the diaspora, from even wanting to think about Africa and its role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hear about all the tribal war and how much people die and all, you know, especially in people like places like Sudan and, you know, and famine and Congo and these places. So we have a serious security problem, and hand in hand of governance, good governance. I think, you know, these are the things we need to focus on.
Mm. But I think, do you think it would be possible, I mean, and you're coming back to your point about giving back, and I think, for example, my dad was raising the point that St. Lucia's first island scholar, right, ended up working in South Africa, in Ghana, sorry, right?
Who's that, Patterson?
No. His name was Edmund Leo Ogiest, Dr. Ogiest. Now, that I think is very symbolic in some regards. And I'm thinking that, you know, the Caribbean, we don't have the numbers. I mean, we're what, maybe 15, 20 million if you include Haiti, you know, compared to a billion people. But what we do have some of is maybe the human resources, the skilled persons who could play a role in terms of supporting Africa's development in that regard. Maybe a sort of like a Peace Corps, you know, a Caribbean Peace Corps dedicated towards development of Africa, something like that, you think might be in order?
Yeah, it's a finding mechanism, because PM Morty invited she, after her husband died, Samora, in a plane crash, I think. She got married to Nelson Mandela, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You're aware of that, eh? So her whole life, in terms of, she's been in the presence of some serious, in the company of some serious, you know, stalwarts there.
Yeah.
Know, fighting against white apartheid. So she's saying exactly what you're saying, that we need to be, it's not just, you know, much material, you know.
There must be structures. There must be vehicles through which these things can happen.
We can do that, setting up these structures, you know, because if you really check it, I mean, it has been done. Look at, I mean, we are small in numbers, but there haven't been many Africans in the diaspora who has influenced
as much as Caribbean, as the Caribbean diaspora.
And Marcus Garvey.
Yes, definitely.
And then, in more modern times, Bob Marley.
Bob Marley, definitely, definitely.
You understand?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not, you know, our civilization in the Caribbean is heavy, heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we don't understand that, and we will be surrender that to be known as a place for fete. People, affecting people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, fete is all right because. That's part of our...
No, there's a universality of that, you know, and entertainment and enjoyment and bringing people together.
There's
so
a universality in that. We cannot relegate ourselves as a people.
Only to be known for that. Yes, agreed.
To be known for that, I mean. We, you know, and we, because this is why Bob Marley reached the world. And even Europeans, wherever he went. Because he was transformative and, you know, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance, you know, until there are no first, second, and fourth class citizens of any, you know, until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to skin and religion and so on. So you have that to build yourself as a quality of human being. You know, in that character, that you're not even seeing what they have done to you through slavery and colonialism and through having you in economic poverty
mm-hmm.
up to a day like today.
Yeah.
You're seeing beyond that and right. You're seeing,
well I think
have white people that are hungry still, too, that not eating properly, that cannot even think. They have Chinese that, you know, they have Indians. We must adapt a philosophy that transcends these narrow and parochial,
mm-hmm.
you know, issues that seem to be obstacles in our way. And usually, it's just petty politics, partisan politics, or religion, dogma, you know,
divisiveness,
and doctrine.
Yeah, divisiveness. So, yes.
So we, you know, and listening to that lady, man. Very, very interesting, and I feel you should, you know, we need, you know, because this is why we have our universities, you know, we need to use them to that cause, you know, that to have our people, uplift our people, enlighten our people, do the research, bring the people in, talk to us, and to lead us, and to greet us, and so on and so forth. But
much appreciated for that intervention, caller. Very much so. And we're going to have to, unfortunately, end the conversation here today because we're way over time already. But thanks very much for that.
Thank you for your patience and your tolerance.
Thank you. And of course, some very, very impactful calls. We're very thankful for them and the interventions, of course. Hopefully be able to continue the conversation. Very important and how to make that journey is quite a lot of discourse, but to how do we get into those functional cooperation streams between Africa and the Caribbean. I think we're seeing a lot of it happening, but certainly much, much more needs to occur in that vein. But of course, thanks very much for all those who called in, and of course, we're going to be back again tomorrow, God willing, for another program here of the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. Have a good one.